before you're seated, you need to come in agreement with me that you and your family are about to step into the greatest open door you have seen thus far in your life. I don't know if you heard that. I need you to put a smile on your face and a shout on your lip like you're about to walk through the greatest open door. I need you to get ready. There's not a devil in hell or a demon on earth that can stop what God has already ordained with your name on it. High five your neighbor and tell him, open door. Your other neighbor, tell him, open door. High five the neighbor that's trying to blow you off and ignore you. Tell him, open door. Something amazing is coming your way.
Woo!
Wow, okay. We got time. You may be seated, but you won't be seated for too long. Are there any questions? Good. Here we go. This is woo. Let me read you the narrative, and then we're going to unpack it, and then we'll, you. 1 Samuel chapter 5, one of my favorite books in the Bible for whatever non-apparent reason. The book of Samuel. Chapter 5, verse 1. There's even a conundrum, a theological angst embedded in the first verse. After the Philistines captured the Ark of God, even that very sentence should provoke some sort of acid reflux. The fact that the mucho malo hombres can capture the glory of God in a box. They took it from the battleground at Ebenezer to the town of Ashdod. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon and placed it beside an idol of Dagon. This is a Netflix series, by the way. I mean, visualize this. They capture the glory of God in a box. They take it to the temple of a false god, Dagon. Verse 3, when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. In front of, somebody say in front of. Not behind, not to the side, but in front of. And we're going to break that down in a second. So they took Dagon, the people, and put him back in his place again. Verse 4, but the next morning the same thing happened. Dagon had fallen face down before the Ark of the Lord again. But this time, somebody say this time. This time his head and hands had broken off. And they were lying in the doorway, in the threshold, in the entryway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit has assigned me to share with you today. The title of the message is called Timber. Somebody say timber. Timber. It's coming down. When the prophetic stands next to the prophetic always wins. Look at your neighbor, tell him, timber, it's coming down. You're going to understand what this means, because let me just speak prophetically, this is not spaghetti on the wall. By the time you get home, every lie of the enemy will be on the ground lying in front of you. Everything the enemy has constructed to stop you, hinder, impede, deter, rob, kill, and destroy will be defeated on the ground in pieces. And let me even already declare, it will never occupy your space again. Are you ready to see these things come down? How many believe that this is the year it's coming down? How many believe it so much, not only in your life, but in your children and your children's children? Somebody shout like you know it's about to come down. Somebody shout, timber! It's coming down. Here it is. Point one, if you're taking any notes, and good luck with that. Point one, when hell declares victory, watch God show up. After the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from the battleground. This is in the Old Testament, just a little teaching here. The Ark of God, y'all know this already, was God's treasure chest. It represented God's presence, power, and promise. The Ark of God served as the Old Testament facilitative platform for the manifest glory of God. The glory of God is the manifest presence of God. So whatever heaven touched, the rod of Aaron, manna, commandments, the Bible describes these items as glorious. Every time God touches it, it is glorious. Hence, you are glorious. So here's the story. The Philistines were the arch enemies of the Israelites. The Philistines would say, here we go. Here's a scenario. We have 10,000 troops. The Israelites have 1,000 troops. Let's attack them. 10,000 men versus 1,000 men. And they did. The Israelites won. The Philistines regroup. Let's multiply exponentially the number of troops. 100,000 Philistines versus a small army, a contingency of the Israeli army, the Israelites. Attack! The Israelites would win. The Philistines finally gathered. They gathered their executive committee, and they came to the inevitable conclusion, these guys have a secret weapon. They found out what it was. It was the Ark of God. Wherever the glory of God, the presence of God in the box was present, the Israelites would win. Wherever the glory is present, the enemies cannot win. I will repeat that for the hearing impaired. Wherever the glory of God is present, the enemy cannot win. I will do that one more time. Wherever the glory of God is present, the enemy cannot win. The glory of God is in your house. I said the glory of God is in your house. I'm not asking, I'm telling you, if you're here right now, this Wednesday evening, I'm not inquiring, I'm telling you, the glory of God, Jesus is the glory of God, and through his Holy Spirit, the glory of God is in your house. So the Philistines came to this conclusion, aha, all we have to do is capture the Ark of God, take away the secret weapon, and they did. They captured the Ark of God. They believed that they took the glory of God hostage. They stood convinced that they took the power of God captive. They convinced themselves that they had placed a lid on the presence of God. And they were soon to discover the following. You can't incarcerate the glory. You cannot imprison the power of God. Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory through the vicarious atoning work of Jesus on the cross and through the resurrection. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 tells us we are carriers of the glory. Romans 8:30, he chose us, he called us, he gave us right standing, and he placed upon you and I his glory for us to carry. This is why the prince of darkness hates your guts. Hell comes after you. Not because you're white, black, yellow, or brown, Republican, Democrat, or independent, charismatic, or automatic. Hell comes after you because you carry the glory of the living God. In other words, the enemy doesn't attack you because of the foolish things you did in your past. He attacks you because of the glorious things you're about to see in your future.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Weird, but But if you watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox, or listen to certain influencers, right now in 2023, it looks like the Philistines of the 21st century have once again successfully captured the glory. I mean, it looks like it. It smells like it. Like if the mucho malo hombres have captured the glory, at least in America, it looks like they captured the glory. But what if I tell you the very same thing that took place in Dagon's temple is about to take place in your family? Some of y'all got that. What if I tell you this? I feel the glory. What if I tell you the same thing that took place in that temple is about to take place in your health, in your finances, in your neighborhood? What if I tell you the same thing? Let me prophesy. The same thing that took place in Dagon's temple is about to take place in Texas, in California, in America, in your generation, in my generation. If you believe it, shout timber. It's about to take place. What's about to take place, Pastor Sam? Four words. Watch God show up. Just touch the one you like the most and tell them, watch God show up. Oh, but we're coming out of a global pandemic. Watch God show up. But look, even today in Congress, they can't even elect it. It's all divided, and Republicans, everybody's just fighting. Watch God show up. What about the war in Ukraine and China and Taiwan and what may be happening around? Stock market, inflation, housing crisis, recession, a cryptocurrency. Marriages are falling apart. But my kids are rebellious. The medical report came in. Hey, everyone, I didn't come here to tell you that I think, I hope, or I feel. I know God's about to show up. Watch God show up. And you may be asking, how do you know? It's not wishful thinking. How do I know? Luke 1:37, the word of God never fails. Hebrews 10:23, God is faithful to keep his promise. And you may even argue, but you're in denial, don't you? And then you have all these, you know, people that are so in tune with eschatology that they will push back and say, stop going around the country and around the world telling people God's about to show up. Samuel Rodriguez, aren't you denying that we're living in the last days? Glory to God. Aren't you denying that we're living in the last days? No, man, get over yourself. I know we're living in the last days. I've read the very exhaustive list that the Apostle Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy. I've read it. I read the list of Matthew 24 and 25. I've read it. I know. I've read it. In the last days, men and women will become lovers of themselves. Call that Instagram. I've read this stuff. I get it. In the last days, men and women will leave their natural desires sexually. We call that the state of California. I've read the last days. So I've read it. I've read it. In the last days, wars and rumors of wars. In the last days, it will abound in sound teaching and sound doctrine. In the last days, I get it. I believe it. But there's a last day promise. And the last day promise that I love to embrace, and I just can't deny, is so powerful. It appears both in the old and in the new. Joel 2:28, Acts 2:17. Woo-hoo. You want to hear in the last days? I'll give you in the last days. In the last days, God said, not I might, not I may, not I hope to, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hey, get ready. We are about to see the glory of Jesus fill the earth like we have never seen before. We are about to see more people saved, delivered, and healed than ever before. If you believe it, shout like you know we're about to see it. We're about to see more people come to Jesus. We're about to see things blow up. We're about to see things. A real quick note, and I know you do this. Do your Google due diligence. Even in the past 6 months, post-September, there have been more and more studies about the church recovering from COVID, and the whole 38%, now 30%. Now it's somewhere between 28 and 30% people never came back. never came back that used to go to church. They haven't come back to church. They haven't come back to church. So all these predictors and predictions American Christianity is diminishing and the church is getting smaller. And then y'all need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid. God has the final word. I'm not kidding. Y'all need to get ready. We're about to see more people come to Jesus than ever before in American history. Numbers 14:21, as I live, all of the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk 2:14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Ephesians 4:10, he who descended is himself he who ascended far above the heavens, so he may fill everything. We're about to see God show up. I need to show you point number two, if you are taking notes, when the prophetic stands next to the prophetic always wins. I need to show you what happened here. So they captured the ark. I Googled, are there any Philistines in the Fort Hood area in Texas? Just by coincidence, I just Googled, are there any Philistines in this region? I found two. So Philistines, give it up for the best Philistines. Philistines, come here. Sir, you random man, here, random man, what I want you to do is come over here real quick. For illustrative purposes, you random man, I want you to be Dagon for this message. So you're the false god. You're the false, corrupt, perverse, disgusting. I'm kind of pushing it here, aren't I? But you're Dagon, okay? So you're a statue of a false god. And this is your temple, all right? So stay there. You can't Giancarlo Esposito. Stay right there, okay? So here's what you guys are going to do. This really happened. I'm not making this up. This really happened. For illustrative purposes, with great humility, I'm the glory of God. If you say with great humility, right, then sure does. So what you're going to do is you're going to carry me. This really happened, not making it up. They carry the ark of God in a box, the glory of God in a box. You're going to carry me up the staircase, and you're going to place me next to Dagon. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's so.
you sure about this?
No, tranquilo, Rocky, tranquilo. Aquí, espérate. Suavecito, suavemente. Don't drop the glory.
There it is.
Wow, thank you, Philistines. Don't go around too far because I'm going to need you here in a second. But this not, no joke, this really happened. Like, this is a movie. They put the ark of God in a box, the glory of God in a box, right next to the statue of Dagon. Isn't that wild? They place. Oh, I'm sorry. Just a whole biblical exegetical extrapolation, right? They carry the ark of God. They carry the ark of God. Verse 2. It doesn't say they dragged it.
Wow.
You missed it. Okay. If the ark of God was the secret weapon for the Israelites, why didn't they just open it up, take out the Ten Commandments, break them, the rod of Aaron, bam! Manna, do away with it. Matter of fact, at least, why didn't they drag it like this cursed thing, this man? They, with great, I will prove to you scripturally, they carry the ark of God with great due deference. How can I prove it? Because the Bible says if you would carry it disrespectfully, you would what? None of them died. You missed it. The enemy respected the glory. I'm gonna sit there for 30 seconds till you get it. I said the enemy respects the glory. I said the enemy respects the glory. 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 Show the enemy the glory and you will be respected. Somebody lift up your hands. Repeat after me in 2023. The glory of Jesus will shine in me, with me, for me and through me, that I, me and my family, will be respected. If you believe that, shout like you understand. I don't know if you know what you're doing. Never again will you be disrespected. Never again will you be dragged. Never again will you be abused. The enemy respects. Show me a church with the glory of God. I will show you a church that will be respected. Oh, God. We got to finish. The moment you convert your trauma into a testimony and your pain into praise, the glory of God will be respected. They took the ark and they placed them right there. And this is the glory of God, the ark of God, the most sacred physical entity on the planet in the OT, right next to two objects cannot occupy the same space. Your past and your future cannot occupy the same space. Your dream and your nightmare cannot occupy the same space. Complacency and conviction cannot occupy the same space. Truth and lies cannot occupy the same space. Hatred and love, sin and holiness, forgiveness and unforgiveness, belief and doubt, faith and fear cannot occupy. Somebody shout, something has to go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's a battle going on for your space. There is, and the number one battleground is right here. Before we confront the external Philistines, we must address the internal Dagons. There's a battle going on right now. The battle is not in America primarily between the donkey and the elephant. The battle is between the serpent and the lamb. The battle is between chaos and order. The battle is between deception and truth. The battle is between feelings and facts. Matter of fact, the big battle is between your mind and your mantle. The battle is between your memories and your imagination. The battle is between the thoughts that go through your head and the calling of God upon your life. There is a battle when it's here. This is where Dagon has to fall first. I have great news for you. Pastor quoted the scripture twice. 1 Corinthians 15:57. The great news is the victory, the battle has already been won through Christ Jesus. I love the version, if you do the Greek exegete, you are perfectly victorious at all times, in all circumstances, over all things, through Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and tell him the battle has already been won. And this is what happened. Number three, when the glory stands firm, darkness will collapse. So we're going to illustrate this. This is going to be a quick message. It's a wham, bam, thank you, Sam. No pun intended. But this is prophetic. This is what I see in the spirit, so I'm going to just share it with you. This is what's going to happen here. This really happened. They left. Where are my Philistines at? Y'all stay right there at the bottom of the staircase. They left. The citizens of Ashdod. And they shut the door, and this is a movie. When they left that night, something happened. This guy ended up on the floor in front of. Now, that's where the Hebrew exegete is important. The phraseology there is intentional. It's the same phrase that appears in Psalm 97, verse 7. Every false idol, every false god will bow down in front of the living true God. Not only did he fall, he didn't fall to the side, to the back. He fell in front of, in a posture of worship. So what did I travel to California for to tell you? Every Dagon in your family, every Dagon in your home, every Dagon in your marriage, every Dagon in your mind, every Dagon in your health, every Dagon in your finances, before this service is over, not only is that Dagon coming down, it will never occupy your space again.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.